Planning for retirement can be stressful, but if you take some time now to think about how and where you're going to spend your later years, it can open up some good opportunities for you and give you time to put some things in place. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. Dr. Mary Langerand is a psychotherapist and co-author of the recent book, How to Age in Place, Planning for a Happy, Independent, and Financially Secure Retirement. She practices full-time in Long Island, New York, provides clinical services to individuals and families, and does as well consulting to multidisciplinary professional teams in skilled nursing facilities. She is our guest today as we talk about aging in place. Have you thought about how and where you're going to spend your later years? If you look around your home and your community, what elements are in place that would help you age in place? What would you need to change? Maybe what are your greatest concerns about aging? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Dr. Mary Langerand, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me today, Larry. It's a wonderful opportunity because I believe that this is an extremely important topic for an awful lot of people.
Oh yeah, for a lot of people. You talk about aging in place, and maybe right up front, let's tell us what you mean by aging in place.
Well, aging in place is a national movement aimed at enabling older adults to remain in their own homes or locales of their choice by making available the social support, health care, and home maintenance services that they're going to need to live safe and productive lives in the community. For some folks, that really truly does mean staying put. You stay in the place where you've lived, in the house in the community where you've been for many years. But for other people, the real key to aging in place is determining what setting would make it most possible for you to pursue the lifestyle that you desire post-retirement. And our book was aimed at helping people to make good choices about where they see themselves retiring.
Yeah. You say that access, you talk about opportunity and services, these are all the foundation of the aging in place movement. Can you expand on that a bit more?
Well, you have. When we thought about how would you age in place successfully, we figured out that there's three things that are absolutely essential. Access. You got to be able to live safely, get around in a useful fashion, and get to the things you need. You need opportunities. You have to be able to pursue the social and cultural and educational and recreational and civic things that are important to you. And possibly most importantly, you need the services that are required to function successfully later in life, including health service, social services, proper nutrition, public safety. And as we thought about it, we kind of started plugging things into that model and realized it works pretty well when you're evaluating a place you might want to settle.
Yeah, it makes sense. You divide your book into two main categories. You call one making it work and then the other making it count. And I'd like to focus on making it work today. Maybe we can have Rob Bornstein, your co-author, back to talk about making it count. When should we start thinking about how and where we'd like to retire?
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah, sooner is better because most people don't think too concretely about what their actual day-to-day lives are going to be like post-retirement. They think in rather global terms about, oh, it'll be nice, I won't have to work, I'll have a good time. But a lot of them do not think through the nuts and bolts of who and when and how and what they're going to be doing. the sooner you start doing that, the sooner you can put the financial and legal and other aspects in place to make sure that you're going to have the other type of support needed to get you through what may be a 30 or 40 year period.
Yeah. I'm thinking about my own home where my wife and I and daughter live right now. And, you know, we are close to, we can walk to a probably 10 or 20 at least 20 restaurants, a grocery store, neighborhood grocery store, church close by, medical pretty close by. So as I think about this, we're in a pretty good spot.
You sure are. Did you choose that deliberately?
We chose it primarily because it was a neighborhood that had many children, and we have a 10-year-old. So her best friends now are, you know, like the next door neighbors. So it's that's worked out really well.
Excellent. And I'm guessing it's a very walkable neighborhood.
Oh yeah. Yeah, walkable neighborhood, and most everybody has a big front porch that they sit on in the evenings often. At least we do.
You know, many people are surprised to learn that walkability is actually very closely associated with home value. A neighborhood that's walkable tends to have healthier people because, interestingly, walking is a great weight maintenance exercise, and most people can do it even when they have other health issues that might keep other exercise options out of place. It tends to increase the safety of a neighborhood because you got more eyes on. You have more people who really know the area keeping an eye on property and making sure that a little pothole doesn't turn into a major sinkhole. You have less gang activity, according to the research. It really is amazing what a difference walkability makes in terms of how great a neighborhood is for somebody to spend their entire life there.
Yeah, it's amazing. We have a caller online with a question for you. By the way, you can join in, too, with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Susan in Big Bend, Wisconsin, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, one thing that is really proving to be a challenge, I am so totally on Social Security, and because my attempts to provide for my future were sidetracked by the crash in 2008, which coincided with my becoming disabled, and everything I had saved was gone. But the challenge that is looking insurmountable is either I am severely smoke sensitive. And both in Wisconsin, you know, in this area and in Minnesota, where my children live, any of the subsidized units and anything that I could afford, there are several that list themselves as smoke-free environments, but, and excuse my hoarseness, but I have a cold, but the managers are right up front about it being an ongoing problem. Mm. That even though people sign a lease that, you know, agree to maintain the smoke-free environment, people smoke, and it's almost impossible to track down who's doing it.
Mm.
Wow.
That's a tough situation. Susan, I'm sorry. Dr. Langren, any words of help here?
What I'm responding to is here in New York, where smokers seem to abound for many years, when the laws changed and many, many places were designated smoke-free areas, it was surprising how many people got quite radical about their support for smoke-free environments. And working in long-term care as I do, I have an awful lot of folks who have COPD or asthma or other chronic breathing difficulties. Smoking is absolutely prohibited, and we feel no compunction whatsoever about getting very, very assertive with smokers. To the extent that folks band together and start saying, look, you're not just engaging in a habit here, you're endangering other people's health and welfare, and that is not acceptable. It's surprising how quickly you can start modifying other folks' behavior.
Mm. The problem here, it sounds like, is they're having trouble figuring out who's doing it.
Right. That's what, you know, I mean, the managers say, you know, we get a call that someone is smoking, and I'm not talking about health care facilities where it is much more manageable.
It is.
In
yes.
people that are in independent apartments, which hopefully, you know, I have given up on the apartment idea, and I'm trying to find something that, you know, is a non-traditional place to live.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a great plan, because increasingly, especially as baby boomers are getting to retirement age, people are coming up with some really creative space sharing and house sharing options, and the naturally occurring retirement community concept is really taking off in a lot of places as people with similar needs and various circumstances that make apartment dwelling, for example, difficult. They get together to share a house or to rent or buy a space. And it's been surprisingly successful with an awful lot of people.
So,
where does that start? Does that start with, mm-hmm. If you've got any information on how people...
Yeah, how to get together, yeah.
Well, locally is probably your best option for that, and... An interesting place to start might be the Area Agency on Aging, which often has a lot of community links depending on how it's set up in your community. I know when we lived and worked in rural Pennsylvania, that was a key hub of getting access to other seniors. If a group of people who live in a given area or space or whatever, are all over 55. When over 80% of an area is over 85, by definition, it becomes what is legally known as a naturally occurring retirement community. And it gives you certain purchasing block abilities legally.
Hmm.
Rules vary from state to state, and again, your Area Agency on Aging might have that data, as might a number of the websites on naturally occurring retirement communities.
We'll try and post some of that on our Facebook page as well, Susan, so that we'll give you the website for the Area on Aging offices, and hopefully that'll be of help to you. But I do, like, you know, it's worth looking into, kind of maybe getting together with some folks and coming up with a good plan that'll work for all of you. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. Our guest today, Dr. Mary Langeran, who is a co-author of How to Age in Place, Planning for a Happy, Independent, and Financially Secure Retirement. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with our guest today, Dr. Mary Langeran, about how to age in place, how to plan for a happy, independent, and financially secure retirement. Great to have her along. Thank you so much for listening in. You may have a question. How much have you thought about where you're going to spend your later years and how you're going to spend them? If you look around your home and community, what elements are in place that would help you age in place? What would need to change? What are your major concerns? Give us a call. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or again, post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's turn to Kathy in Crandon next. Kathy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. My husband and I retired fairly young in our later 50s, and we looked really hard in the western states, as per Money Magazine, et cetera, the best places to live, low tax rates, et cetera. We just thought that was going to be the greatest place to move to from Wisconsin, who is not as tax friendly. And luckily, we did end up building our new home in the Wisconsin state. But we're still several hours from children and grandchildren, and I just want people to stop and think about that as they do age, because I can't even imagine all the trips I would be taking flying home to see those little kids. And I think that's not always discussed during retirement planning, that need to be close to family.
Yeah, that's a good point, isn't it, Mary?
Absolutely. One of the most important things you need to think about when you're choosing your retirement locale is, with whom do you want to be spending a lot of your time? And if seeing the people you love the most involves a taxi, a train, two buses, that's really challenging, especially as you age. It's very time-consuming.
And very costly.
And very costly. That's the other part. I mean, if you, all right, you can move somewhere where maybe the taxes are a little less, but then if you spend a whole bunch of money flying back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to see those kids twice a year. And I just don't really see that emphasized in a lot of those articles of best places to live. To pick up and to move to South Carolina, well, good for you. You've got a great climate, but my goodness, you miss so much with your own children and grandchildren.
Yeah, and I've actually talked to two separate people within the last month who have moved back from Florida, retired in Florida and moved back for precisely that reason, to be close to the kids.
Yes. Anyway, thanks for the program. I love it.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. Really appreciate the call. Ken and Kokana, let's turn to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you for the program.
Sure.
I wanted to mention the Aging and Disability Resource Centers that we have in Wisconsin.
Yes.
I believe that all 72 counties now have ADRCs, and they are an outstanding resource and a good resource for families, for children. Grown children are trying to help their parents with the issues that you're talking about. So, again, I would encourage you to have people look for their local Aging and Disability Resource Center.
So, that's a wonderful resource to have.
Aging and Disability Research Resource.
Yes, ADRC, but I hate acronyms, so it is an Aging and Disability Resource Center. And Dane County has one because they also advertise. They're one of the sponsors of public radio. I hear them on 89.3.
Mm-hmm. You are absolutely right. And we can post at least a general, sort of the main website for the ADRC on our Facebook page, so people can actually just click on it and find where they need to go. That's a very good point. Yeah, thank you, Ken.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate the call. That's a great service, eh?
Yes, it is.
Cheryl in rural Verona, your turn now. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, good morning. I just had a comment and a little bit of a question, and I think Judith said that it's called universal housing. We have some friends that are a little older than my husband and I. We're close to 60, that actually they built a house with retirement in mind, meaning that they put all their living needs on the main floor, mm-hmm. so laundry, bathrooms, kitchen, bedrooms, living area, and then put guest rooms on the second floor. And I was just wondering if that was talked about in the book. And we have a very old house in Verona, and you know, would like to find a resource for someone that could come in and help us say what are our options for long-term living in place in a house that would have to be totally explored differently.
Certainly, you go into a fair amount of detail, Mary, in your book about making your home safe. There's a chapter devoted to that.
Yes, we do. Universal home design is the general term for how to make a house safe for folks as they age, specializing in how to retrofit space for people who might be dealing with declining perceptual acuity or mobility needs or the types of problems that you deal with as you age. And there are entire industries based around how to retrofit a house to make it safer and accessible. And the one-floor house is obviously one of the best designs out there, if at all possible. Not always, you know, you can't really raze a house and just start over from the ground, but it's surprising how accessible you can make the space you have when somebody who knows what they're doing takes a look at it. And we do devote quite a lot of space to that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you again for that comment. Appreciate it. Karen in Hillsboro, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, my point is that most people don't choose to retire. The majority of us won't choose to retire. We retire when we can no longer work, when we become disabled. And the majority of people who become disabled end up being destitute before they get any kind of help. Many people are homeless at that point. So you don't get to choose where you live. You don't get to choose where you know, who you're around. You think Social Security income, think medical assistance, think, you know, Social Security disability income, and think being destitute. And then those are the choices that you have, you know, that dictates the choices that you can make about where and when you retire.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure you are absolutely right, Karen, that there are many people that are in that position, and that's sad, Mary.
Yes, yes, extremely. And you can't prevent bad things from happening, obviously. If we could, we would. The best you can do is mitigate the impact with future planning.
Yeah.
Well, it work.
Yeah, and it's worth it to take a look at a book like yours, which I guess regardless of your income or your position in life, there are parts of this that are certainly going to help enlighten you on how you can best approach your own situation.
Yes. And again, the sooner you can start your planning, the better, because you do not know what's going to happen to you in life, true, but you can make some very good educated guesses up front. And we do spend a good bit of time talking about some of the very advanced planning that you can do in terms of what types of disabilities run in my family? Is there anything I can do to promote good health and perhaps ward off disability? Is there anything I can do to live even within the constraints of significant physical problems, which a lot of people do very successfully?
Yep. Karen, thank you again for calling. I appreciate your call. I hope you stay listening. Brent and Jackson will turn to you next. Brent, thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. My parents are aging and retired, and I've moved closer to them just so I can be there if they need me. The only way I can't help out is if there's a medical issue. But as far as daily living and everything, I'm there for them if they need me. And I just can't understand why so many people have gotten away from being there for their extended family, their parents and grandparents as they age.
Mary, comment?
Well, they're missing out on some great opportunities, I'd say, because the opportunity to get close to your to all the generations of your family really can be priceless. As people are living longer, and they are, it's no longer all that odd to see a five-generation family. And that can be such an enriching experience if people have the luxury of being able to be close enough to each other to, you know, really spend time together.
Yeah, absolutely. And Brent, thank you for calling. I appreciate your call. It's you're doing a good thing there. You're doing a real good thing there. You can join in too with your questions or comments or maybe your experiences. How much what have your experiences been in terms of planning and in terms of where you're going to spend your later years? What are the elements that are in place for you and what needs to be done? Look forward to your, what you have to say about that. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Post a question or comment there, and certainly we'll always appreciate it if you call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. We got a Facebook question from Cheryl in Lancaster. The hardest thing for us to figure out, and we are a 66 and 68-year-old couple, the hardest thing for us to figure out is to know whether or not to invest in long-term care insurance and what to look for in those policies.
Excellent question. Long-term care insurance, for folks who might not know, long-term care insurance provides both coverage for a facility, for example, if you needed to be in rehab after surgery, and it may also provide for in-home care if you need that as you age. And depending on your condition and any decline in your ability to execute activities of daily living, you may well need in-home care at some point in your retirement. Long-term care insurance can provide excellent, excellent benefits, but the trick is you must read the policy very, very carefully, know exactly what it does and doesn't cover, and at what point services may be accessed. A lot of policies will only allow you to access the benefit when you are, for example, deficient in three or more activities of daily living. You might need help with bathing, dressing, meal preparation. Some will exclude coverage if your problems are due only to cognitive impairment rather than physical impairment. The devil is in the details in this, and the trick is to read the policy extremely carefully. Ask questions till you get it, and if you don't get it, don't sign it.
Yeah, I know many folks who have agonized over whether or not to go that route. Some people have decided to try and finance them, you know, sort of self-finance. And have done and started early enough that they have a nest egg that's that they're able to that would be able to call on in the event of something bad happening.
Well, it is expensive, no question. And another rule of thumb is if the price of the policy is more than a third of your income, obviously that's not going to be viable for you. And for many people, a policy that runs $3,000 to $5,000 a month would exceed what they would be able to put aside.
Well, that yeah, in some cases, that would be the entire amount yeah. that the people would have. So you're right. Fran in Westfield, your turn. Fran, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I would like to encourage all the younger generation who's out there looking for homes We purchased our home. It was 1918 built. Beautiful home, but all the bedrooms are upstairs. Oh. Only a half bath. If I would have known what I know now, I would never have purchased the house. Because I'm dealing, having to do the stairs, laundry's in the basement, have back issues, you know, trying to think, should we put a lift going up the staircase? So I really feel that, you know, homes should be built with a master bedroom and a full laundry on the first floor in this day and age for our population.
Thank you for calling. Comments, Dr. Langeran?
Well, yeah, there's so many things that when you're 20, you look at the house and you go, oh, it's beautiful. It's got a fireplace. It's so cool. I love the yard. And when you're 70, you look at it and you go, oh, my goodness, I can't get to the washer and dryer. I can't get into the bathroom if I'm on a walker. I can't reach some of the shelves in my kitchen. It's amazing how your attitude changes over time. We have a two-story house, and those stairs got steeper in the last few years.
Jim and Madison, thank you for calling. I appreciate your call.
I just got a minute, but I think that something I haven't heard, and I haven't listened to the entire program, but I have a father-in-law who's in his 90s and a mother who's in her 90s, and deal with both of them, and I think that inevitably, no matter how healthy we may seem and how well we take care of ourselves, we're going to need medical care. Mm-hmm. And I think if someone's thinking about sort of retiring or aging in place, they should choose proximity of quality medical care. And quality of medical care, even in Wisconsin, which I think is probably above average, varies tremendously from one part of the state to the other. And from in some of the rural areas, people have to travel an hour to get to something for some of these more complicated and necessary procedures. Mm-hmm. I have to go, so that's my comment.
Oh, thanks very much, Jim, for calling. Mary, comment?
Extremely important, yeah. As you age, you're going to have a bigger and bigger health team. You may be the coach, but there's going to be a lot more players as time passes. And you're right, in rural areas, it's not uncommon to have to travel an hour or more to get to a consultation. If you have to do weekly consultations to manage a complex medical issue and it's a several-hour drive, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So, proximity to a health team that you can access both physically and let's bring it up because it's the elephant in the room. Whether or not your Medicare coverage and your secondary coverage is going to have practitioners on it that you trust and have confidence in is going to be another huge question as healthcare coverage develops and unfolds over time.
Yeah. And, of course, things are kind of, in some ways, up in the air. Obviously, there's a lot of concern about healthcare because of the changes that are in place or are being put in place right now. Where, you know, people are concerned, obviously.
And they should be. And at this point, it really is impossible to predict what's going to happen next. I believe, just anecdotally, that most providers will continue to provide, and many of them are going to be doing so at considerable personal cost.
Yeah.
But you can't really make a caveat statement, and it could well be that treatment teams are going to be changing pretty radically.
We have... And, you know, we're talking about transportation, too. Just to get to medical care, but you talk about transportation in your book. A lot of times you get a certain age, you're going to be losing your driver's license.
Huge issue. For most of us, especially if you don't live in a very urban area, your ability to drive is your freedom. And when Ken called in earlier and was telling us about the Aging and Disability Resource Centers,
I was wondering if they're able to provide transportation services for folks who are perhaps wheelchair-bound, because that's mm-hmm. another enormous issue. But, yeah, your driving is your key to freedom in a lot of the United States. And as your perception and your reaction time and your general stamina start to change, giving up your ability to drive can be an enormous life-changing experience for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's when, you know, this sort of this walkability I was talking about earlier a little bit, in our neighborhood at least, we can still walk to almost everything we need. Well, we can walk to everything we need, to be perfectly honest, is a huge advantage. And we have, to be blessed in our city, in Madison, and in other cities across Wisconsin, with pretty good bus service, public buses, which can obviously be a huge assist.
Enormous. However, something we noticed here in New York was that when budget crunches came around a few years ago, they started cutting back on some public bus routes. And we wound up with the odd phenomenon of having these wonderful handicapped accessible buses that only ran a few times a day.
Oh, yeah.
And that can be a bit of a problem for a lot of folks, because if you have an appointment, you have an appointment. And there are parts of the world where taxi cab service is simply not an option. It doesn't exist.
Pat in Westport, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Pat, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Oops. Oh, we lost. I think we lost. Pat, are you there? I think we may have lost her.
Oh, no.
Well, I'll tell you what, Pat, we'll try and get back to Pat in just a second here. I want to remind you all, as you listen in today, that we're talking about how to age in place. That's the main title of a book written by one of the authors, Dr. Mary Langeron, who's our guest today, Planning for a Happy, Independent, and Financially Secure Retirement. I'm Larry Mueller, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking about aging in place, planning for a happy and independent and hopefully financially secure retirement. Our guest, Dr. Mary Langeron, who is the author of How to Age in Place, one of the authors. Great to have her along. You may have a question or comment, or maybe you've got an experience to share. Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's turn to Dennis in Madison now. Dennis, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. I just wanted to give you guys a call. I don't know what was, I missed the first part of the show, but you were talking a little bit about long-term care, and we have a home health care company in Madison, mm-hmm. and as a non-medical home care company, one of the things I found is some of the long-term care insurance companies will not pay because if the home care company does not have a license, well, if it's not skilled care, you cannot get a license in Wisconsin. So when you were talking about the long-term care, I just thought that, you know, it might be something that we'd want to bring up so that when people are looking at those policies, that's something specific to Wisconsin that they're going to want to ask their carrier if they will cover that. Some of the better ones will, but a lot of them just simply won't pay because they don't have a license, but they cannot get a license.
Right. Yeah, state law does vary in that regard, and a lot of them will only deal with certain certified agencies, and they can be pretty exclusive about with which agencies they will deal.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks. Good point, Dennis. Thank you.
You bet.
Appreciate it. Lori in Hales Corners. Hi, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yeah, we're old buddies, Larry. Remember the Fickle Thistle?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, I'm calling about something at the other end of the spectrum. Now my husband's 8 years older than I am. He insists it's 7 3/4. Hmm? But the thing about it is he was having some ambulation problems, and I felt I wanted to move into a place before he kicks the bucket, because he is older than I am, mm-hmm. that was unkind, but you know, it could be either one of us. But the point is, I wanted to sink down roots in a new community where I could be helpful to other people, and they could be helpful to me when my time came. And where I'd be, the remaining person would be better off in that community. And we do have a lot of amenities over here. We did the move, and he went along with it, and he likes it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's advanced planning.
Yeah, that's really good planning, Mary.
Wow. You don't hear that every day. It's excellent. And what I really love is your observation that you want to be able to contribute and to give and to be an active part of the community, and that is so important for happy retirement.
Yeah, absolutely. Lori, thank you for calling. Something to think about. Get your roots. They move. They get their roots down. I think they're also living near their children as well. So they're in a really good place. Tara and Marshfield, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Good. Thank you. I wanted to say that I am a registered nurse and have worked with long-term care needs for 15 years or better. And what I often find is that when families are looking at long-term placement for family members, they really don't do their homework. So I would encourage that when you are looking at placement, that you really seek out what it is you're looking for, what kind of needs that your loved one has. What I find is that people often pay for the biggest and the best, and then run out of money that much quicker when they're paying for services they don't really need.
Oh.
There's a lot of different types of assisted living facilities, and some have round-the-clock awake staff, some of them have a sleep staff, some of them have nurses on site, others don't. So it really does vary, and of course with that, the prices then vary. So.
Yeah, and the care, the cost per month can... What's your take on the cost per month in terms of how much it can vary?
Well, some facilities, maybe $2,000 a month. Others, depending on how many services, could be upwards of $4,000, $5,000 a month. Oh. So it really does vary quite a bit.
Well, you're running at the one end, you're running out of your money twice as fast as you would be at the other end, for sure.
Exactly. I really encourage people. I worked as a case manager for several years, and I really encouraged families to kind of, what I would say, look past the pretty. Don't go in and just look at the walls and, you know, how new the facility is. Talk with the staff. Find out what the other residents in the facilities really think about it, satisfaction. And think about, why am I looking at this placement? What is it that they truly need? Am I paying for services that I don't need at this point?
Yeah.
Just because they have awake staff all the time, does that mean that I need that? Could I do just as well for maybe a less restrictive facility that maybe costs a little less?
Yeah. Boy, Mary, what do you think?
Well, Bob and I just happened to have written a book some years ago called When Someone You Love Needs Nursing Home, Assisted Living, or In-Home Care. And we addressed that issue in very great detail because we were very fascinated by how do you choose a facility. So that's a topic near and dear to our hearts. You're right. As we always said, you can't eat the wallpaper, and pretty isn't the most important thing. There's questions of staffing, staff longevity, resident satisfaction, the state review results,
which you really need to look at to determine quality of care and any care issues. But, yeah, bottom line is you have to think realistically about what do you need, how much is it going to cost you, and how long will your resources stretch to cover?
Yep, absolutely. Yes.
As long as I've got you on the phone, I should also mention that we work closely with the Aging and Disability Resource Centers, and they do offer volunteer drivers. Now, they do expect that you would pay for the mileage costs, but the volunteer drivers actually donate their time to take people to appointments or shopping trips. So that is a service that they offer.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you very much, Tara.
Sure. Thank you.
Appreciate that call. And Anne in Blue Mounds, appreciate your call. Hi.
Hi.
Thank
you. I'm calling. I direct sales supporting active independent lives, and that's somewhat of a newer organization here in Dane County, but it's part of a national village movement, and I thought you might be interested, or your listeners might be interested in hearing about that sort of model.
Yeah, what's that model like?
Well, it's unique because it's a membership model. SAIL is a nonprofit membership organization, and we started back in 2005, sponsored by Oakwood Village and Attic Angel and two other nonprofits. But our whole purpose is to help people join and be a part of creating their own aging plans and helping to support them in terms of aging on their own terms, whether it be at home or if they decide at some point to move. So what we do is we provide resources based on what they are interested in and needing, for example, pre-screened service providers or people who can help them at home, but they have a sense that they have a personalized approach and they get to know us, the staff and the other members, so that it's kind of like bringing a retirement community into the home with services and social opportunities and volunteerism.
And this is a nationwide program.
The model's nationwide. There's a national village-to-village network, and there are about 100 organizations like ours throughout the country, and we all communicate regularly and exchange ideas. But everyone is unique, and everyone is a member-driven nonprofit in their community.
Hmm. Well, thanks very much for calling. Mary, have you... is this something new for you?
I'm familiar with the concept. It's a marvelous, marvelous movement, and obviously we think it's a great idea because that's exactly what we're trying to help people to do, to get the resources and services they need to help them to age in place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put your SAIL website up on our Facebook page.
Oh, that'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah, we'll do that. And we'll also put up the ADRC, the Aging and Disabilities Resource Center, site up as well. So there's a couple of places that people will be able to go to. You just click on my Facebook page. We'll get you right there. And again, thank you. And John in Middleton, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to put in a plug for retirement living.
Yes.
I live in Middleton Glen, here in Middleton. And 2 years ago when my wife passed, I was living in a very big house, which I sold and moved in here. And almost instantaneously, I picked up 50 new friends.
Yeah.
And you know, I have a two-bedroom, two-bath for $1,500 a month, which there is an admission fee, but when you leave, as everyone does, most of the admission fee is refunded to you. You don't have to worry about resale, or your heirs don't have to worry about resale. They have a volunteer driver, indoor parking. All in all, I think it's been a great move.
Okay, so you are in favor of retirement communities.
You bet.
Yeah.
Middleton Glen is on the Facebook, by the way. So
okay, here's another one we can put up. Thank you, John. What do you think, Mary?
I think that's absolutely wonderful, and it mirrors a lot of people's experiences. It can be really wonderful to move into a new setting, to meet new people, to do some of the things you maybe always wanted to do and didn't have time to do when you were, you know, raising your family and pursuing your career, and you can really make retirement into a really wonderful part of your life.
Well, and as John says, he went, suddenly had 50 new friends.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's definitely nothing wrong with that, because I think it was one of the things that we can talk about perhaps a little later is living alone. That can be kind of scary as we age. And certainly the retirement community is one option for dealing with that particular issue. And
absolutely.
Yeah, something we'll take up. We are talking today with our guest, Dr. Mary Langrand, who is a psychotherapist, co-author of the recent book, How to Age in Place, Planning for a Healthy, Independent, and Financially Secure Retirement. She practices full-time in Long Island, New York, and she does provide clinical services to individuals and families and consulting as well to professional teams. Great to have her along. She'll be with us right up until 12:30 today, so I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments right after we take a look at the news. Stay with us. When you look around your home, would you be able to live there safely as you age? What would need to change to make it both a safe and happy place to spend your retirement? Hi, Larry Mueller here. Today we're talking about the concept of aging in place, how to make sure we can achieve that. Dr. Mary Langrand is a psychotherapist, co-author of the recent book, How to Age in Place, Planning for a Happy, Independent, and Financially Secure Retirement. She practices full-time in Long Island, New York. And Mary, thanks again for spending time with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a wonderful opportunity because we're really excited about the idea of helping people to plan their retirement years.
Well, there are so many things that we can talk about. As I mentioned earlier, your book is kind of split up into two areas. One part is what we're talking about today is really making it work, which is money, access opportunities, making your home safe, getting around transportation, and then health care issues. And those are certainly all things that we've been getting at today. You may have a question as you listen in to Mary speak. How much have you thought about when and where you're going to spend your later years? What kinds of issues are you facing, or what have your experiences been? Either for yourself or your parents or in-laws. Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Kyle on Facebook said, you know, if you have a dog over 50 pounds, you can't move into one of those places. That we were talking about retirement communities. And I'm probably pets can be an issue. I don't know if it's any, I can't remember if you addressed that at all in your book.
It doesn't come up a lot, but it does come up. People's pets are extremely important to them. And the notion of having to choose between where you would live and with whom you would live, in this case, maybe your dog, who is also your best friend, is a very important question.
Yeah, absolutely. Barbara in Gotham, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, Larry. I'm a person that's involved in this situation. I've been handicapped thoroughly, very badly, for 23 years, but I'm now looking at a better health situation. I have had many experiences with all the help in three different counties, Sauk, Dane, and now I'm in Richland County again. And some of them have better services than others. I recently was informed because I was unhappy in a Wisconsin company. They manage some of the homes that they rent out, like buildings with apartments.
Yep.
And I had a nasty experience there because there was a couple of people that were mental problems and One lady threatened me with a knife one time, and the other one wanted to kill my dog. And so I wanted to get out of there. And 2 years ago, I was there, and now I'm able to be on my own in a home that's an older home that has been totally remodeled and upgraded. And I also bought it through Rural Development Program for aging elders on 81 who want to remain in their home as long as they can. And I am only paying taxes, insurance, and the loan principal interest. It's costing me $300 a month here in Gotham. And you couldn't rent for that anywhere in this area.
No.
Not even twice that almost. Because I have, you know, a ramp coming in, and I have put in a grant I got from Madison. I put in a walk-in shower, all put up with ceramic sides and floor, and I can now get in without too much trouble with my body. And I also put in a brand-new set of windows for insulating help here in this older place. There were some bad windows. And I got that through a grant that's called MOV-IN-OUT.
Hmm.
And that was in Madison, and I accidentally found it, and they gave me almost $7,500 to do those upgrades here. So I am just super happy. I have my own yard. I can have people come and help me. I have some friends that have been doing it recently, getting leaves up and things, and I'm a gardener from, like, 50 years now,
mm-hmm.
probably. And I can do a garden here as much as I can. And, you know, it's just upgraded my whole outlook on life because I felt so bad in those apartments.
Mm. That's so wonderful. Retrofitting can be a lifesaver.
And you might also want to comment, Mary, on, now here's Barbara, who really took the time to get some support through government and other programs. You know, comment on some of those that may be available for people?
Well, they vary a great deal from place to place and state to state. And again, the importance of looking at your locale and finding out what's available in your county, in your city, in your community. You just have to start local.
Yeah, yeah. Barbara in Sturgeon Bay. Thanks again, Barb and Gotham. How about Barbara in Sturgeon Bay? Hello. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
We used to live in a first one-story house, but then later, when I was younger, we moved into a two-story house. And recently, I had a severe hip resection, which is often an operation a lot of older people have to have when they fall or something like that. But I was in a skilled nursing home for a while, which is a good idea because they had physical therapy, and it's pretty much covered by Medicare. But what I wanted to suggest is that while I was in rehab, my husband had a stair lift installed by our stairs, and I learned how to use it, and it's been wonderful, and it should enable us to stay here for a long time, I hope.
Yeah.
They're great. If your space will allow for it, they're absolutely marvelous.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate your call. And, yeah, for people who have that second story, I'm not sure what the cost is on something like that. Mary, but it's...
It can be considerable. Here in New York, you'd guesstimate approximately $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But obviously, where you are makes a big difference in terms of how much stuff costs. And there are, as Barbara was saying earlier, some local grant options at times through your various community agencies to retrofit houses.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks again, Barbara. Appreciate it. Judy in Rome Sullivan, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello.
Yes, what's on your mind?
I wanted to call and say that our insurance advisor advised us to get our name in to a one of these condo to nursing home complexes. The one we're looking at is in Dousman. My husband's doctors are in Oconomowoc. It would be closer. And he said as the baby boomers age, they're not going to be available. There's not enough homes to take care of the baby boomers when they need homes.
So he said,
put your name in on the list. If you're not ready, you can turn it down because we have, like the lady that called before, four bedrooms upstairs, none downstairs. And, you know,
yeah.
We have a big house, and we won't be able to stay here.
Yeah.
True. Planning early, getting your name into places where you might want to be if immediate occupancy isn't an option is an excellent idea. And also, you might actually want to sort of attack it on as many grounds as possible. You try to keep your current setting as accessible as possible. You'd put your name into more accessible places. You might scout around to see what's being built. Because as new housing starts are coming up, I think there is a lot more mindfulness now about universal access in design, making places universally accessible for everybody throughout the lifespan.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was thinking about, Judy was talking about planning ahead and making plans, you and Robert Bornstein, your co-author, wrote a great blog post about planning and the family planning meetings. You had an 8-step guide for that. You know, for family, that's pretty important, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Often when you're making aging-in-place decisions, you're really going to want to have your family involved from the get-go. And the best way to do that is often to call a family planning meeting. And on our blog, which is, by the way, on our website, www.aging-wisely.com, we talk about how best to have a family planning meeting to communicate your future plans, get input, and make those decisions. Among the things you need to do is figure out who has to be a part of the meeting and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Have your agenda in place and stick to it. Don't let any one person completely dominate and run the show. Everybody needs to have a voice if they're included. Understand that people are going to have real powerful emotions about this, and if need be ready to call a time out and regroup and come back and start over. Don't try to do everything in one meeting because it can't be done. Take good notes and be very, very clear about follow-up responsibilities. Who's going to do what? When are they going to do it by? What are we going to do? On the blog, by the way, where we update and add new information as it comes in, we share our viewpoints such as they are, and we're always delighted to have input.
And I think we have a link to your blog as well on my Facebook page, so people can go there in a heartbeat if they're near my Facebook page. And those are all, you know, those are all really good points. And I think, you know, I have meetings at work, and we invite the people who are needed for the meeting. We have an agenda. We try to not allow a person to dominate. And we understand that sometimes in our meetings, emotions can run high and all those things. And we think about that consciously when we're doing a business meeting, but when it comes to family meetings, a lot of times, well, let's get together and talk about this. You know?
Yes, but you have to give it the same importance and kind of mental and emotional space that you would give any other super important business meeting in your life.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's really, really quite important. And I really enjoyed part of the blog where you're talking about understanding that emotions can run high, because oftentimes it's some old conflicts, family conflicts that will, as you say, resurface. In some disguised form. So you're arguing about one thing, but what you're really talking about is something that happened 20 years ago that you're still mad about, kind of.
Yeah, emotions, especially in the context of a family, have no shelf life. They can go on forever. And it's not at all uncommon that, you know, sibling rivalry or old resentment or anger about something that might have happened when you were a kid or a teenager is going to come back to bite you when dad's trying to talk about where he wants to retire.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really like those points on your blog. They're well thought out and certainly worth all of us taking a look at. Beth in Wausau, thanks a lot for calling. Hi.
Hi, I'm a senior advocate in Marathon County, and so many of the ideas that I'm hearing today are just fabulous. Forgive me if I'm repeating something that's already happened because I've been in and out of the car. But the reason I called was to get back to the transportation issue.
Yeah.
The ADRC, or Aging and Disability Resource Center, is always a great place to start. Sometimes even better, United Way has a 211 phone number, and they can give you sometimes more comprehensive information. They're aware of, you know, small volunteers and big agencies that can provide a variety of services. And the thing with 211, not only do they address senior issues, but they talk about, they can give you information on summer camp for a disabled child. I mean, just the whole gamut.
Oh, boy.
It's 211, and you, with just those three numbers, you will reach the office in your area. They are staffed 24/7. And the only caveat I would put in there, and this is a problem that may have been corrected, some counties, it can be difficult to reach 211 with a cell phone.
Oh.
So, you know, if you're getting a funny kind of recording, try to reach them on a landline.
Good. Thank you very much for those comments, Beth, and for
You're
that
welcome.
Information. Really appreciate it. Mary, comment from you?
Excellent, because transportation is so important, and it can be so difficult to access for folks.
Yeah, this is, sounds like we have a kind of a really good service here. Probably not perfect, but pretty darn good when you get right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks, Beth. Appreciate it. You could call in, too, at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to Susan in Wausau. Hi, Susan.
Hello. I had a couple of comments or observations that I've had. I had a very nice little neighbor friend who was 99 years old, living by herself, Meals on Wheels, but really was pretty isolated, just even with family, just very in her house. And at age 99, she did move into assisted living, and I would go visit her there. And she commented to me, "Susie, I think I'm the happiest person here." And what I realized, at least that's what I took away from it, was that she had clung so desperately to her home and being independent and did not realize how lonely she was.
Yeah.
And by making that next step into maybe an assisted living or senior living, you're with other people that are also moving there. You're sort of all transplants. And you have people that you can talk to daily at meals and so on and so forth. So I think sometimes we do cling too much to feeling that we need to keep our house and be alone, and it may not always be so helpful. So really enjoyable.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I just recently
had a friend who fell at age 60, fell and had a major injury. She just fell, hit her rib, and so on and so forth. And she really had to crawl to a phone. And I have talked about it before, and I'm bringing it up again, and I'm telling myself, if something happens to my husband, I will get a lifeline. I would seriously consider it, just keeping it on when I'm in the house, going to the basement, whatever. Can leave it on the doorknob when I leave, but I'm not alone if I need help, and it's within reach.
Yeah.
And people say they'd like to use their cell phones, but I think this is even better.
Yeah.
So those are just two things that I've observed and I feel are important.
Susan, thank you so much. Mary, comment?
Lifelines are absolute lifesavers for an awful lot of people. We talk a good bit in the book about their importance in terms of making your home safe, because safety is an enormous question when you talk about folks living alone. But I'd also like to kind of bridge into that and at least touch on the topic of isolation.
Yeah.
Isolation is probably one of the most important problems that many folks face in retirement, because it can lead to a lot of problems. People who live alone, they eat less, they recover slower from injury, they have more health problems. The research actually shows that isolation can kill you. And the importance of having a social support group, no matter where you live and in what circumstances, cannot be overstated. You need people. You need stimulation. You need connection.
Those are all very good points. And, boy, here we are about out of time. I wish we had a time for more. We had a comment about local aging and disability resource centers have pamphlets that are chock full of local and 800 numbers for services, according to a caller. He thinks you have to stop by the office in your county to get one, to get the pamphlets, but they are well worth it. We'll try to get some more information on that. We can put that up on Facebook. And Mary, any last words here in our last 30 seconds or 45 seconds?
Start planning today and enjoy your retirement.
Start planning today, and that'll help you enjoy your retirement, won't it?
Yes, yes, it will, Larry. Good point.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you.
Dr. Mary Langren is a psychotherapist and co-author of the book we're talking about today, How to Age in Place, Planning for a Happy, Independent, and Financially Secure Retirement. She practices full-time in Long Island, New York, and co-authored that with her husband, her co-author, Bob Bernstein. And we have the information on the book and also on their blog that we were talking about earlier, aging, www.aging-wisely.com. So there's that as well for you to go to, and several other resources that came up as a result of callers, just like you as you listened in and maybe you called. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk about wetlands tomorrow and also paddling. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.